Hi, I'm Paul Pachter, the President and CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and welcome back to another episode of Breaking Bread right here on the Long Island Cares YouTube channel. This program is geared towards you, the community, and we talk a lot about food insecurity and hunger, but we also talk a lot about community services, a lot about issues of importance to the Long Island region, and I really have an outstanding guest today on this episode. It's my friend Ryan McGarry, who is the Chief of Staff at the Suffolk AME. Suffolk AME is the Association of Municipal Employees. They represent about 6,000 county employees in Suffolk County, and if I'm wrong, Ryan is going to correct me. Ryan, thanks for coming on. It's great to see you.
No, Paul, thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm a huge fan of the organization, huge fan of yours, and hopefully I can live up to that introduction.
Yeah, well, you know,
honored to be here.
I figured I did the Suffolk AME radio program about a half a dozen times already, and I thought it was time for Suffolk AME and you to return the favor.
Oh, we appreciate it. You are always welcome on Suffolk Matters. You're a terrific guest.
Great. So let's talk about Suffolk AME. What is it? Who do you represent? How many departments are involved, and really, what's the goal of the organization?
Absolutely. So you nailed it. Suffolk AME, the Association of Municipal Employees. So just like it sounds, we represent government workers, municipal employees. We're about 6,000 active members across both the county and the community college, and then a small group over in West Hampton Beach Village we're also proud to represent. Okay. But talking about a diverse work group, the Suffolk County AME is such a diverse group, both in terms of demographics, but also in terms of what they're responsible for. So these men and women are providing the essential and vital services that our residents rely upon every day. So if, God forbid, you're having the worst day of your life and you need to call 911, on the other end of that line is an AME worker who's picking up the phone and dispatching services.
So the EMTs are part of Suffolk AME?
Our dispatchers and operators are first responders in communications now, and they are AME members. Our nurses are DPW road crews who make sure you can get to work in a snowstorm or just have a paved Suffolk County road. So affectionately, we like to say, you know, from our road crews all the way up to doctors. We have people with advanced degrees and people with high school GEDs, all under one umbrella, all providing essential vital services. Because as you know, all labor has a purpose, all labor has dignity.
Sure.
And, you know, whether you're the guy paving the road or the doctor figuring out the best approach to deal with a global pandemic,
right,
that labor is important in keeping our economy moving.
That's fascinating. What are some of the services that Suffolk AME provides for their membership? I mean, I know representation in terms of contract negotiations.
Absolutely. Yes.
What else?
So we're very proud of our members for the services they provide the men and women of Suffolk County, and we love to talk about that. You know, we have members in Department of Social Services and Department of Labor really providing everything that our county and our region needs, but then who's there for them? And that's where President Dan Leveler, our executive board, and then myself as the higher chief of staff are able to play a role in representing those men and women so that they can go to their jobs feeling confident that they're gonna be safe in their working environment, that they're gonna have job security, that they're gonna have benefits for their families, so that their focus can be on what it should be, on delivering those vital essential services for the Suffolk County taxpayer and resident while we fight on their behalf. So exactly like you said, the executive board will negotiate a contract with the county executive's office. We will advocate for benefits, but we also, where I got involved with AME, coming from government, I started with their government relations office, where really we're also focused on pieces of legislation that would impact our members. Every time a Suffolk County legislator puts together a new policy or a new program, it's the men and women of AME who are probably going to be implementing that program on the ground. So we want to make sure they're hearing from the workforce when they're making these decisions that impact the entire region.
And would it be safe to say that not only are they going to have to implement the policy change, but they're also going to be affected by the policy change?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's important that they have a voice at the table, and certainly through your leadership and representation. 6,000 members, they ongoing communication with the leadership of AME, Suffolk AME. What are some of the major issues that your membership are bringing to you besides a living wage, or hopefully better than a living wage? What are some of their concerns?
Yeah, of course. So obviously we try our best to make sure that they have a competitive pay scale. And mm-hmm. right now, due to inflation, you know, we do have a lot of members who are unfortunately making below the self-sufficiency standard. So we really, I mean, talk about what the work Long Island Cares yeah. does. We really want to see that move up. So of course, pay and compensation and benefits are always a part of it. But as I was alluding to before, it's also health and safety on the job site. Mm-hmm. So we represent folks in the medical examiner's office, for instance, who are doing, you know, all these lab tests on bodies, mm-hmm. on cadavers. Yeah. And one of the things I'm proud to have been involved with under the leadership of our president, Dan Leveler, is they were doing these tests with these dangerous chemicals in a building with a ventilation system that was never equipped to handle these chemicals.
Oh, wow.
So the ventilation system's deteriorating. It's not providing the air flow that they needed. So we did work with the administration successfully mm-hmm. to put a capital budget project forward that would provide for a new ventilation system in the medical examiner's office. And that's just one example. Obviously, mm-hmm. 6,000 members in about 30 different units across an entire county. There are many issues like that where we're trying to keep our members safe. And another big issue is morale due to short staffing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you know, our county is more than just efficient. We are operating on a skeletal crew. We've really seen the employment level of Suffolk County go down over the last decade or so. So we are really focused on reversing that trend,
mm-hmm.
making sure that there's enough of a workforce, that there's a fair workload for everybody, that they're not overworked, burning out, leading to turnover, because that's not good for anybody. That's not good for the taxpayer, who then has to train a whole new employee
mm-hmm.
because somebody left because they were burnt out or downtrodden with low morale because they were overworked. So making sure we have the right size government is another issue we're very focused on.
And in many instances, the work that you do through Suffolk AME has to be supported by the county legislature, correct? And how does that affect what you're able to do for your members? Is it a battle every year trying to negotiate contracts or safe working conditions? Or is there really a good partnership between legislature and AME where partisan politics is not part of the scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a fair question. Of course, you have good days and bad days, especially when you're dealing with politicians. But for the most part, AME celebrates a very productive relationship, both with our county executive as well as the legislature. Even with them changing a majority, we always are positioned to have a very productive relationship, open line of communication with our elected officials. So, you know, it's great for us when we do see bipartisan bodies. You know, mm-hmm. we don't want any one side having a supermajority, because then they're locked in their ways. They don't really need mm-hmm. The outside world as much. So if we're able to support Republicans, able to support Democrats, and have a working relationship with both, we're best suited then to advance the agenda of AME and its membership.
In terms of your membership, I really do need to get educated more on Suffolk AME. Are police and emergency services under your heading as well on the correctional center, or no?
Yes and no, so great question.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, best way I can describe who an AME member is to the general public quickly is, if you work for the county level of government and you don't carry a gun and a badge,
okay.
odds are AME represents you.
Mm-hmm.
So we represent the civilians in law enforcement, the civilians in the sheriff's office. As I was saying earlier, we now represent, through legislation, the current executive board and I helped pass
mm-hmm.
at the state level, first responders in communication, those 911 dispatchers and operators, and then, you know, folks even in the district attorney's office. So folks who deal with evidence, folks
mm-hmm.
who collect evidence, ensure proper communications between emergency operations. Our Fire Rescue Emergency Services Department is primarily AME, Office of Emergency Management, AME. And then, of course, our fleet that our law enforcement officers rely
mm-hmm.
upon, maintained and maintained by AME members as well.
We are currently in the country witnessing two strikes going on simultaneously, the Writers Guild of America and the SAG-AFTRA. AFTRA people. You know, we have a president of the United States right now in Joe Biden, who is a pro-labor person. understands what labor's all about, understands the importance of unions. Do you find the same climate exists in the Long Island region or specifically in Suffolk County?
Yes, I'm very encouraged by labor's reception with the general public. When I first got involved with labor, which I know I only look like I'm 25, but it was about 20 years ago. When I was a senior in high school, I got very drawn to the labor movement, ended up going to Cornell's labor relations program mm-hmm. for my undergraduate. And at that time, public opinion of labor unions was at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. Enrollment was at near all-time lows. And it was really looking like the labor movement was on a downward trend. So, of course, at that time, I was excited to be a part of it, trying to reverse that trend. Of course, I can't take credit, but what I'm encouraged by is right now, we're seeing enrollment numbers at relatively high levels. Mm-hmm. They've been the highest they've been in, you know, a quarter of a generation, a quarter of a century. We're seeing public opinion on the rise of labor unions. So, especially with this younger generation that's coming into voting age and is in voting age mm-hmm. at this point, we're really seeing a renaissance of the labor movement. You look at the recent organizing of Starbucks. There was a huge amount of public support mm-hmm. around that. The strike you mentioned with the Writers Guild, you know, obviously dealing with some scary emerging technologies and AI. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most people understand what that's about and understand that this is a precursor to a bigger debate on what AI might mean for all
Absolutely.
Working people, not just those working in creative industries. So I'm fortunate to see that, or we're fortunate to see rather, that public opinion of labor is on the rise, and rightfully so. We're doing great work. And just the rippling impacts of that strike are just unbelievable, because it started as a writer's strike, right. and now through Solidarity, you have the Screen Actors Guild joining them. And then even that ripples out. You think about how many jobs are dependent upon television
sure.
and these type of, you know, you're talking about Teamster jobs yep. and stagehand jobs through mm-hmm. IATSE. So everything is connected, as you know well, in an economy.
And one of the things that interests me as well, in terms of your membership, is their commitment to community service and the commitment of Suffolk AME, which Long Island Cares, as you know, has been the beneficiary of. So let's talk a little bit about Suffolk AME and your role in the community. You know, we talk often about corporate social responsibility, but that's usually on the for-profit mega corporation, you know, Bank of America, Amazon, you know, having a, you know, social conscience to address social issues. But Suffolk AME also has a long history of engaging in the community. So tell me what you guys are up to and doing when it comes to corporate social responsibility.
No, absolutely. And it's funny because we're the exact opposite of corporate, right? We represent working people, but we still have that need to serve our greater community. And if you'll indulge me, two points I'd love to make mm-hmm. are, number one, our members as individuals, and incredibly altruistic people. Most of them got into government service for that second word, service. They believe mm-hmm. in the work that they do, so much so that when they're not on the clock, they're still giving back and serving their
mm-hmm.
communities,
right.
whether they're organizing food drives in their community, or coaching Little League, being a volunteer firefighter or EMT, just almost every member I speak to, when you ask, what do you do outside of work, there's always an element of volunteerism. They're always giving. And because we represent that workforce, that organization of people, we as leaders, our executive board then carries that tradition forward as well. So the executive board will vote to take action to support other regional mm-hmm. nonprofits. Obviously, as a union, we're a nonprofit ourselves, but we'll support organizations like Long Island Cares because we understand the vital role they play for our community as well. I know we'll talk about it at some point, but yes, our partnership both with ongoing food drives for Long mm-hmm. Island Care at different work sites where we're able to generate hundreds of pounds of food at a clip, and then our yearly May Day Music Festival.
Which, you know, who came up with that idea?
President Leveler, our vice president, and myself, the three of us thinking they knew I had organized with the county executive's office where I was before coming to AME, the Suffolk County Marathon for Veterans.
Oh, so, I honestly didn't know that.
Oh, it's one of my favorite projects. I give County Executive Ballone all the credit in the world. This year, he'll break $1 million raised.
It's fantastic.
For local veterans organizations. So, yes, I started that with him in 14. The first event was 15. So when I joined AME, President Leveler and the Vice President knew I had that experience, and we just got brainstorming. How could we do something similar and get a little bit awareness of what unionism is? And that's kind of the underlying message of the May Day Music Festival. When we first came up with it, we've shortened it now to be the May Day Music Festival. Mm-hmm. Its first name was the May Day Music Festival,
right,
saying May Day is International Labor Day. And it was a May Day. It was a rallying call to get folks coming around the labor movement, understanding the value of unions, letting us introduce ourselves to speak to what you were saying earlier, to the non-unionized public who might have a very cliche version in their minds of what we are, who we represent. Say, no, we are just like you. We're your friends, your neighbors, your family members. Sure. We want to have a good time with live music. And if we're going to do this, let's make sure we're doing it for a good cause. So we set it up to be a wholly nonprofit endeavor. Mm-hmm. So net proceeds would be split between scholarship funds and obviously Long Island Cares, which we're proud to partner with. And then we do a food drive at the event where we've raised, I think, 850 to over 1,000 pounds of food at the three festivals that we've had thus far each time. So we're very proud of that relationship.
It's been a great experience and opportunity for our staff and volunteers. As soon as we put out the call for volunteers about the May Day Music Festival, we're inundated by people that want
to
be part of it. Do you see right now a resurgence in, well, I think we touched on a little bit of it, but a resurgence in terms of the respect for unions? You know, because there was a time in the 80s and the early 90s where, you know, unions weren't considered, you know, beneficial, and all they're interested in is, you know, bleeding government for more money, and they go after rich people and blah, blah, blah. But I'm seeing, from my vantage point, a resurgence in people knowing not only is it important to be part of a union, it's important to have a bigger voice, to be represented
Absolutely.
By people. Do you see that as well?
I do, and I'm so glad you said that too, because that bigger voice, you know, so many folks, you hear labor unions get lumped into lobbyists or
right.
special interests.
Yes, correct.
They're not a corporate special interest.
Yep.
They're just a conglomerate of individuals who are pulling the little resources they have to exercise their First Amendment. And that's really what the labor movement is. To your point, you know, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. You know, I rewind 10, 15 years. I remember working with colleagues in the county exec's office who would say, we know you're sensitive to labor. We know that's where you came from, but organized labor is not really needed anymore. Like, that was needed back then, back in the industrial era.
Yeah.
It's not needed anymore. All those benefits, all those job protections, all those safety measures, they're going to be there anyway. The employer, just out of the goodwill of their hearts, are always going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think folks are learning that just isn't the truth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, we saw things like Janice First Ask Me, which, you know, tried to really undermine the power of public sector unions.
Mm-hmm.
Labor clapped back. And we see in right-to-work states in the South what it means not to have union representation. Governor Abbott down in Texas just recently passed a state law that would prohibit local municipalities in his state from authorizing 15-minute breaks when it's over 100 degrees yeah. in temperature. So you have people doing manual labor in three-digit degree heat, not being allowed to take a 15-minute break just to get water and get hydrated. And these are the things that will happen if unions aren't in place to
yes,
protect workers.
Correct.
So we are seeing a resurgence, and you're absolutely right, too. You know, I think there was a great article in the New York Times in 2016 that kind of was tracking Trump's trajectory to victory, and it was the Democratic Party, which traditionally had been the party of labor, taking labor for granted for too many years. So I do think there was a little bit of that, a lot of very coordinated efforts to attack and undermine labor, but to a point where those weaknesses became strengths because
right.
it forced labor to organize, forced labor to engage with the greater community, which we've been doing extremely
sure.
successfully. And to your point, we are celebrating a resurgence like we've never seen.
And that's a good thing for the country.
It's a very good thing for working people in the country at large.
Yep. And you know, Ryan, there's so much more I want to discuss with you, and I'm definitely going to have to invite you back on the show because we didn't get into the impact of the COVID pandemic on your membership.
I'd love to discuss that, of course.
I could spend a whole another show talking to you about your current bid for a seat on the Suffolk County Legislature, but that's another show.
I'd be honored to come back there.
Excellent.
And I'd be honored to come back and talk about your namesake. You know, I'm a huge Harry Chapin
Thank
fan,
you.
Both as a writer and a humanitarian.
Thank you.
He's a great man.
I appreciate it. Ryan.
Paul.
It was great to see you. If you like what you're seeing, then please consider subscribing to the Long Island Cares YouTube channel. We have many more programs set to come your way in the future. So please consider joining us. I want to thank Ryan McGarry of the Suffolk County AME for joining me today. And go back outside, help somebody, do something special, and be nice to one another. Until next time, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Food Bank. We look forward to you coming back to break bread with us. Bye-bye.